invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, if you have your Bible, follow along with us this morning as we consider here this passage and the verse that we want to focus on this morning in line with messages that we preached over several Sundays, those two words, I am. This morning, John chapter 6, verse number 48. John chapter 6, verse number 48, where the scripture declares, Jesus speaking, he says, I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. Father, help us with your word at this time, Lord, as your people, that we would just reflect and meditate and focus upon, Father, the consideration that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our dear and wonderful Savior, is that bread of life. And Lord, we thank you for the declaration that he is so. And we praise your name, Father, that you've shown us that he is so. And Father, we have that everlasting bread of life within us that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what he's done, Father, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. And Lord, how you visit us and saved us and made us your own. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning that are without Christ, oh, Father, that they would see that Jesus is that bread of life, that he is the only way of life. And Lord, that you'd work in their hearts. You'd open their eyes, open their ears, open their understanding, Father, that Jesus is the Savior. And Lord, they'd repent, they'd believe, they'd follow you and believe you and trust you. Obey you in the command, Father, that sinners are to come to you in repentance and faith. Help, Father, that we would see how your scripture says that sinners are to come to you. Father, work in this. Salvation is of you. And Lord, we just declare your word as it's written. And we pray, Father, that you would take it and use it and give it power. And Lord, that you'd work in it and that you'd touch sinners even this day. Help now, we pray. And bless, Father, we need you. We need your touch upon us. And we thank you for this time. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. Here in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus dealing with the subject at hand, he says to these folks that he's dealing with, I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. This passage here in John chapter 6, for many, many years, it's really been one of those weightier passages. It's one of the passages that I think about and that come back to heart and mind many times because of what the Lord said here and how he dealt with these people. In review, we just want to back up here at the beginning of the chapter and see what's at hand. Jesus has gone over the Sea of Galilee. He's gone over a great multitude has followed him. Why? Because he's seen the miracles and what he's done for the disease. This says in verse number 3. The Passover's at hand. He sees the company that's following with him and that is coming to him. And he says to his apostles, verse number 5, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And so he puts that before them. Philip answers and he says, and I think this is the indication, if we take all the money that we've got, Lord, if we could even buy that much bread, it's not enough bread for each one of them. Just take a little bit. Andrew says in verse number 8, Peter's brother, he says, there's a lad here that's got 5 loaves and 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what's that? How's that going to help us? And the Lord Jesus, he says, make him sit down. There's much grass there. There's 500 men, I'm not talking about women and children. There's 5,000 men at hand, and they cause them to sit down in an order, as it tells us in other Gospels. He takes the loaves, the Lord Jesus does. He prays to the Father. He blesses them. And then he takes that fish and takes that bread, and he starts busting it up, and he's giving it to the apostles, giving it to the disciples, and they're taking it out amongst all those people, and Jesus keeps breaking it and breaking it and breaking it. You reckon that took about 20 minutes? I mean, we're talking about, you know, our dear ladies, they do very well in feeding us when we have events and we have meals here at the church, and the brethren set out chairs and help clean up all that stuff that's done. And we might, you know, we would have a tendency to break out in a sweat if there'd be 150, wouldn't we? But there's 5,000 men beside their families, and the Lord keeps breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking till the word comes back. We can't eat anymore. Where the word comes back says, I can chew, but I can't swallow. We've got our fill. Isn't that what the scripture tells us? He says, likewise, in the latter part of verse number 11, of the fishes as much as they would. If whatever they wanted to eat, there was plenty. The Lord manifests a marvelous thing here. He says, gather up the fragments. And you know what happened? Each of those apostles, they had a basket apiece. Now, I don't figure that was a little basket like this. When I think of this, I don't know. I doubt it was a basket. I figure it was like a basket, right? I kind of think of like a bushel basket. Each one of them, you know, if we laid the loaves, five loaves and two small fishes, if we laid that five loaves and those two small fishes in there, I doubt it would have filled a basket. But each one of them has a basket apiece. The Lord can provide, can't he? The Lord will provide. And that's the message at hand. The people that are there, they say, oh, this is the prophet that should come into the world. The Lord perceives that they're going to take him by force and make him a king up there around Galilee. Understand that this is up there around Galilee and around the Sea of Galilee in the region of Galilee. And so the Lord goes off by himself. In verse 16, it's the evening, and the disciples entered the ship. They're heading, they're going to row towards Capernaum. It's dark, and Jesus didn't come. There's a great wind that blew, and we understand from other passages that the Lord directed them to go on that way. And they rowed about 5 and 20 furlongs, 2.5 miles, 3 miles. Understand that the trip's like 4 to 5 miles. Understand that. And they're rowing. The sea is contrary to them, as it says in other accounts. And they see Jesus in verse number 19 walking on the sea and drawing nigh into the ship, and they were afraid. They thought they'd seen in our modern, in our the present vernacular, a ghost, a spirit. And what the Lord does, as he always does, he saith unto them, it is I, verse number 20, be not afraid. Don't be afraid of the Lord. Don't be afraid of the presence of the Lord. Don't be afraid of the greatness of the Lord and the deliverance of the Lord. Oh, he is to be revered, as our brother read this morning. God is to be revered. We need to have a reverence for our Lord indeed. And we as his children, again, we know that he can destroy us and it'd be over with it at his will. But because he saved us, because he gave his son for us, he won't do that. We're not appointed unto wrath. He will chastise us. Brother Jonah is evidence of that. And he will take care of us. He will provide for us. And when the Lord is at hand, we don't need to be afraid. Because everything that we have and everything that we are and everything that will ever be that is good and to the honor and glory and praise of God, anything that's in us is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in every way because of Jesus. Jesus. And Jesus teaches things, and Jesus tells things, and Jesus has builded things, and Jesus has done things and is doing things and will do things. But everything that we have and everything that we will be and the Lord working in us and everything that is done in us that's good and to the honor and glory and praise of God is because of Jesus. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. They received him into the ship. Immediately, they're at Capernaum. The Lord's got all power, whether it's over food, whether it's over geography and traveling, whether it's over the sea. They entered him the ship, and then with this account, we know that it was immediately still, wasn't it? And it says there, when they willingly received him in the ship, immediately the ship was in the land whither they went. In verse number 22, the next day, the people that were over there at that first place where the Lord fed the 5,000, they see Jesus is missing. And they try to find out. They were watching and they saw the disciples go alone. And so they walked. I believe they walked, and some of them other took little ships, and they come up that direction. Verse 24, when the people therefore saw Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping, came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. So they're looking for him. Jesus answered them. They find him and they ask him in verse number 25, Rabbi or Master, how'd you get here? We were watching out for you. And we find out why they were watching. Jesus said unto them, and he deals with them right at the need that they have. That's the way the Lord always does with us. From our human standpoint, if we would just hear him and believe him and listen to what the Lord is saying, he deals with us to our need. He always does that. He says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's why you want me, for the free lunch. You want me for the easy bread. You want me for the easy meat. They started off wanting to see that which was spectacular in the miracles. And the Lord did the miracles to prove that he can save and forgive sins. But they wanted him for the free lunch. And they went to great effort. Isn't it amazing, even in our day, how it is that people will go to great lengths and great effort to get out of work? People then in that time were no different. Labor not, the Lord Jesus Christ says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. As the Lord say, you're doing fine, not working. No, he's not saying that. But he says, here's what your need is. Your need is spiritual. Your need is eternal. You have a need in your soul and for your soul that this bread and this fish that I fed you over there on the other side isn't going to do you a bit of good for. You have a need that is only met in that which is eternal. But labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Listen, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Preach a whole message about that latter part there. But Jesus is consecrated, the scripture says in Hebrews, forevermore. Jesus came to be the Savior. He is the Savior. When you take a look, again, I mentioned this here a while back, when you take a look at the world, all of humanity and the existence of the cosmos, as it says in the Greek, when you take a look at the Savior list, there's only one, Jesus Christ. I'm talking about one that'll work, one that can save. Jesus Christ is it. Now, others may think there's other people may think over the course of time that there's saviors, many saviors on the list, but there's only one. And he says, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but labor for that meat that endureth unto everlasting life. Is that talking about working your salvation? No, you and I can't pay God anything. We've got nothing God wants. But as he told the woman at the well, if you knew who it was, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that speaketh to thee, you'd ask of me living water. You need the Lord, sinner. And praise God, we who are saved, that we have the Lord and he has us. He says, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. He's the Savior, period. You talk to the Father about the Savior, it's going to be Jesus Christ. That's it. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Allah, not anything else. Jesus Christ. Verse number 28. They said, what can we do that we might work the works of God? And I think that this answer is a twofold answer indeed. And it points back to what the Lord says, labor for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's what every man, woman, boy, and girl this earth is called to do. Believe on him whom he hath sent. Believe on him, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he, the Father, God the Father hath sent, believe on him. That's the work of God. And as a brother mentioned this morning, it is God's work that sinners believe. And it is the responsibility of sinners to believe. And you know what? There's a third one to this. I'd forgot about this. And until I looked at my notes and notes that I'd written in here, I'm not talking about me and what I've come up with, but understand this, not only is it God's work, and indeed it is, not only is it man's responsibility and sinner's responsibility to believe on him whom he hath sent, but it also, it's the children's privilege. Because we keep on believing in Christ, don't we? We keep on believing in Christ. We keep on resting in Christ and trusting in Christ. He is our all in all. Oh, they said, okay, what sign do you show us then? We want to make sure you're legitimate. How about a sign? They give him a hint. What do you work? Here's the hint. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. You can see them there standing around answering the Lord and smiling at each other. They think they're so sharp. They're filled so much with their own conceit. We need a testimony and witness from you. See, the feeding of the 5,000 just a day or two before, totally gone from their hearts and minds. The miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did and the miraculous healing that he did, totally gone from their hearts and minds. They said, oh, we got to prove you right now. You know what? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. How about that? Won't you do that? They say to the Lord. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, verse 32, very, very important information. You can't do without it. I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Jesus says, we're not even going to talk about what you need to eat and what you need to put in your mouth and what you need for daily sustenance. I'm not even going to go there with you. You know what you need? You need the everlasting bread. And you know what? It didn't come by Moses. It came by the Father. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, not what you put in your mouth and chew. For the bread of God, verse 33, is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. Sinner, you need that bread. Child of God, we've been given that bread. That bread comes and that bread fills, and it's like that well of water that springs up within. You know, we've got bread of life from the Lord, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, that springs up within. Never hunger, never thirst. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He's the only life giver. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They say, we want to be, they're hearing about manna. They're hearing about 2 days ago when the Lord fed them from 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. That's what they're thinking. And they say, Lord, evermore give us this bread. The Lord is going to see this. The Lord is going to get more intense and more intense and more intense and more intense in this passage about what's needed by sinners. Jesus said unto them, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Oh, we want manna from heaven. We want daily provision to be miraculously given to us like you did 2 days ago. The Lord says you need something spiritual. You need that which came from heaven, not manna that came down like the dew and was like coriander seed on the ground that was gathered up. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Come unto Christ. He's the one that you need. Come unto the Lord. Do you hear him? Do you hear his call? But I said unto you, verse 36, that ye also have seen me and believe not. And the Lord can make this call. He said, I've been right here. I'm right here in front of you. I'm telling the truth, and you won't believe. You don't believe. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's the truth. That's the way. This is a spiritual affair that's at hand. Sinner, don't plop down there and say, oh, well, whatever God does, that's what God does. Don't you see the urgency of your need? Don't you see the judgment of God that is coming? Don't you see that you're not promised one more breath? Don't you see that you need the Lord? You can't blame God and you're not coming. You can't blame the Lord and you're not coming. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. That's what he says in verse number 35. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. How do we know that they're of the Father? Because they come to Christ. That's the evidence. That's the manifestation of it. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, verse 38, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You know, that's revealed unto us and told to us. But you know what we have to do with that? Not one bit. It's God's business that's been shared with men to know and see how God is indeed control. But listen, sinner, you're here this morning under the preaching of God's word, not somewhere else. Don't you know that that's the blessing of God Almighty? And the word of God has been given and plopped down right flat in your lap. You need Jesus. And dare you blame God for your disbelief? Dare you blame God for your lack of repentance and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? You can't go there. Oh, you may try to go there, but the Lord has sent the Savior and he's told you about him and you've got it there before you. I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Praise God for his work. This was initiated by him. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And you know what? I'll raise him up at the last day. Jesus isn't even talking about bread and fish and manna, is he? But he's talking about the need of sinners' souls. And you know what? He says here in verse 40, listen, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. Do you see him? Remember how he preached last week? How it is with the children of God, but we see Jesus. Do you see the Lord? Do you hear his call? Do you see his truth? And see that it applies to you? That you're the sinner that's in need of salvation. It's not us that need salvation. It's you that needs salvation. It's not we that are condemned, but it's you that are condemned and need a Savior. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews murmured, said, because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. They said, blasphemy. There he goes blaspheming again. And they said, verse number 42, well, this is Joseph's son. We've got his father. We know them. We know his mother. How does he say he came down from heaven? Remember the Lord said he'd give a sign, a virgin would conceive. It would be a sign that they would reject and refuse. Why is it that they never asked Jesus, according to the scriptures, where he was born? Because of blindness, because of doubt. Don't even need to go there because we know he can't be the Savior. And so, how is it then, verse 42, that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves. He knows what they're thinking, what's in their hearts. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Yeah, you need the Lord. See how bad you need the Lord? You need to call out to the Lord for mercy. You need to call out to the Lord for help. You need to call out to the Lord for salvation. Without him, you have no hope, and you need him. No man can come unto me, to me, except the Father which has sent me draw him. And he says, once again, I'll raise him up at the last day. Oh, he'll be secure in me. And we have that great hope as the Lord's children. Verse 45, as is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Are you being taught of God the truth? You're a sinner. You need everlasting bread, and Jesus Christ is that bread of life. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. I pray that there would even be those in our midst today that would learn of the Lord. Not that any man hath seen the Father, verse 46, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. That's Jesus. He's seen the Father, was with the Father, came down from the Father, accomplished that which the Father gave him to do, and is back with the Father now. This is God's work. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life right now. Do you believe on the Lord? Do you believe that he died for you? Do you believe that you were the sinner that needed saving and that Jesus died for you? Do you believe and know that without the Lord's touch upon your life and his great salvation, you deserve to burn in hell forever? We know that because of the Lord, don't we? Because of his truth, because of his gospel, because of his word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. You know what? All that about the manna, which sustained the Israelites for their wanderings in the wilderness, was a showing forth of Christ. Baptism is a showing forth of Christ. Baptism doesn't save us, but baptism tells what has saved us. The Lord's Supper that we're going to partake of this morning, that doesn't save us. But it shows about the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was given for us in sacrifice for our sins. And he saves us. We had songs this morning that sang about the blood of the Lord. If it wasn't for his blood, we would be lost and undone. But for his blood, not the blood of a man, not the blood of one that descended from Adam, but the blood of Jesus Christ, who indeed identifies with man, but is of God, is God himself. His blood has washed we who are saved. His blood's washed our sins away. And you know what? His blood's powerful enough, sinner, to wash your sins away, if you'll believe in it. He goes on to say, your fathers ate manna, did eat manna in the wilderness, and they died. Bread that you labor for to put in your mouth, it's not what you need. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, verse 50, that a man may eat thereof and not die. That's the kind of bread that you need. I am the living bread, Jesus says, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh, he's ratcheting it up, isn't he? He's getting down to the nitty gritty. He's getting down to real, real serious. They go from wanting food, and he tells them they need something other than food. They need spiritual food, which is him. Go here and see, and they quarrel with that. And then the Lord pours more on them, and then they quarrel with that. Listen, verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're still thinking about this mouth. They're still thinking about what they can put in this mouth. See how much you need the Lord to reveal and show the truth unto you, to take those scales off your eyes that you might see that Jesus is not talking about bread that you can bake and you can stuff in your mouth, but he's talking about the need of your soul, the need of our souls. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, listen to him ratchet it up. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now we've not only got the eating of something, but the drinking of something also. He said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. You must. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, verse 57, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. We've got some bread at hand. We've got some bread from God Almighty through his Son at hand. We've got some blood at hand. And you know what? The only way sinners can have life is to partake of that. because it's only by that flesh of the Lord Jesus and it's only by the blood of the Lord Jesus that you and I can have salvation, hope, and help, and forgiveness of our sins. Well, that's kind of gross. That's kind of weird. That's kind of morbid. You know why one would say those kind of things? Because I got this old carnal understanding and no understanding from the Lord. Because I got these old carnal eyes and these old carnal ears. And all that we naturally think about is what we stuff in our mouth when it comes to eating. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum, it says in verse 59. Verse number 60. I've got a note here in my Thompson Chain Reference Bible over here at the side. Maybe you do too. Deep truth misunderstood. And that's the truth. It is misunderstood. By the carnal man, the carnal mind, everything of the Lord is misunderstood. Is the Lord talking about cannibalism? Is the Lord talking about what the universalists, the Catholics, and other Protestant groups take, and namely the Catholics, and transubstantiation, where the priest takes the unleavened bread and the wine and says his little chant, says his little hocus pocus thing? Those are words that are actually used in the Latin, if I understand it right. And it turns the bread and the wine into the body of Jesus Christ. Listen, sinner. Listen, child of God. Jesus died once, and that's all it took. And you know what? We're not saved by this, but this tells about that by which we have been saved. Sinner, you're not saved by this. If you approach the table of the Lord believing that this saves you or keeps you safe, you are not thinking about the body and blood of our Savior in a right way. You, as it says in Corinthians, consider about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ unworthily. It's not by this we are saved, but it's by the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. And the thing is we need Him. What the Lord is conveying here is we need Him in us. We need Him having done those things for us. We need Him, His body bruised and beaten and battered and scourged, and His blood poured out there in Jerusalem on Calvary's hill. We need that applied to us, because without that we have no hope. That's how bad our sin is. Sinner, that's how bad your sin is it took the death, the sacrifice, the pouring out of His soul unto death so that sinners like you and me could be saved. That's how bad our sin is. It's manifested in what the Lord Jesus Christ had to do, and we need that taken to us. We need that given to us. We need that applied to us more than we need food. More than we need food to live, because we're talking about eternal things. The Lord Jesus is talking about eternal need, and we need Jesus. Do you see Jesus? We who are saved, we see Jesus having done those things for us. Many, therefore, of His disciples, verse 60, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? The free lunch isn't worth this. We're out of here. When Jesus knew in Himself, verse 61, that His disciples murmur at it, He said unto them, does this offend you? Remember what the Lord Jesus said. In several places, this is said. In Matthew chapter 11, I'll just read this one to you. John sends His disciples, and the Lord declares unto them those things that are done and tells to send them back. And He says in chapter 11 of Matthew, in verse number 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Did it bother you what Jesus says? This bloody religion, as some refer to it, this just in the minds of men, this strange thing of some man having to be beaten and be crucified and die in such a terrible way, in such a bloody mess. You venture that a terrible thing. Oh, it was a terrible thing, but it testifies to our sin. But we needed the Lord to die. We needed the innocent to die for the guilty. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? He said, does this offend you? Verse 62, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? How about that? How about seeing me back at the throne with my Father? Think that, will that offend you? Because see, they said, oh, this is Jesus of Nazareth, and we got Joseph, we got Mary, we got his siblings. What? How can he be anything? That's what they were saying. Verse 63 is the key to this passage and what the Lord has said. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. What you can eat with your mouth won't profit a bit. And the flesh in and of itself has no life in it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Sinner, do you hear them? Child of God, do you rejoice in them? We hear them and we rejoice in them. I've partaken of Jesus' flesh. I needed him to sacrifice himself for me. Without that, I have no hope. I needed his blood to be shed for me. I'm a wicked, vile, nasty sinner that deserves to be burning in hell right now. But Jesus took his blood and he washed my sins away. I've been made by the Lord, his working upon me, his working upon you that are here and saved. You'll testify it. He's made you as if he's never sinned. That's how powerful his blood is. Amen. He said these words, they are spirit and they are life. No transubstantiation, no power or virtue in the elements unto the salvation of a soul. Oh, but it tells us what Jesus did. As we break the bread, as the Lord Jesus broke the bread, and we break the bread this morning, it reminds us of how Jesus was broken for us. An amazing thing. He was broken indeed, but not a bone of him was broken. And as we partake of the wine, his blood that flowed there in Jerusalem and namely on Calvary's Hill, his blood, we identify with it. I needed him to shed his blood for me. He and what he has done is my only hope. He died in my place. He died in your place. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, verse 63. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Jesus knew from the beginning, who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He knew all about that. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given to unto him of my Father. You need the Lord, sinner. You need the Lord in every way. Hear his word. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, in spite of what it says in Micah that we are to humbly walk with our God. Amen. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? I love this. This is the testimony of every child of God that has been blessed to be able to see the Lord, that has been saved by the Lord, that knows that his body needed to be broken and was given, that we need to eat of his body, not a physical thing, a spiritual thing, totally partake. We need Christ within us, like food goes within us. But even more than that, spiritually, we need the Spirit of God living within. Ye must be born again. We need the Lord. Simon Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Comes back to the word, doesn't it? Comes back to what the Lord has said, and sinners believe in it. What you've spoken, Lord, is truth. It's not a hard saying. It's the truth. What's hard about it is how bad our sin is and how bad our sin was that you have saved us from. Of course, they look forward to the redemption of the Lord. He says, you've got the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe you. You say it, we believe it. We receive it. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. The Lord knows hearts. The Lord knows if you and I are trying to fake and trying to feign salvation because in our own conceit, in our own carnal mind and way, that's all we see to do. You know, salvation doesn't come by faking. Salvation doesn't come by doing something. Salvation doesn't come by being religious. Salvation is in Jesus Christ, the God-man. And faith in Him and repentance towards God that you're the sinner that needs saving, you're wicked and vile before God and deserve nothing from Him. But He's shown you Jesus, who is the all in all. Who is the Savior of sinners. He is the only Savior. And you repent before God and you take God at His word. You believe in Him. Jesus says in verse number 48, I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life.